Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank the Lord for the Spirit of the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go to Luke chapter 22 and 31 and read a pretty familiar passage of Scripture. Probably preached from it in the 10 years I've been here several times, but not in quite this way. And truly, that's what I love about the Word of the Lord, is you can read it again and get so much wisdom out of one verse and one passage of Scriptures that you keep going back to a well that never runs dry. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, everyone say converted. When thou art converted, then you can strengthen thy brother. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm already converted. I'm ready to go with thee both to prison, into prison, and to death. I'm with you. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. That you even know me, let alone go with me. I want to talk about that conversion thing. I want to talk about forever changed. Lord, I'm thankful for your mercy, truly, and your love and your truth. These are things that will abide forever. And Lord, I'm glad they're here today to be part of our lives. And Lord, it changes us. Truly, it is your love that changes us from the vile creature we are to become the image of your dear Son. We ask that you be with us tonight as we endeavor to study your word in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. As I was preluding the sermon here, I can tell you that, just for example, if you were a procrastinator before you got the Holy Ghost, you're still a procrastinator. I will tell you, and I like the song, Brother Valentine. We sing it. I want to sing it again. I looked at my hands, and my hands looked new. I looked at my feet, and they did too. But I can tell you, if you had a corn on your toe before you got the Holy Ghost, it's still there. And some of that old carnal nature is just still there. Paul learned that. We taught about that. But there are things that will forever change you. I can tell you a few events. I'll just tell you one little thing here, and I'll tell you some more as we go. And being raised in the church, I will say I thought I was doing a lot in the church, meaning if they needed something, I was cut the grass or whatever. But what changed me to be a greater follower is when I became a leader. Then I realized when I wanted to put something together, how many of y'all will? I realized how important it was to be a participant when you become the leader. But when I was the participant, somebody else can do it. They don't need me. But when I became the leader, I became a better participant. Because then it changed me how I looked at being on the other side of it. And so we have Jesus here. He's not far from the cross. And now the crowds are dwindling. His disciples are beginning to get a little bit more distant. The Apostle Peter still is close to the Lord and makes bold statements about his loyalty to the one that has called him to be fishers of men. And Jesus responds to Peter, and he talks to him, and he calls him the old name. He called him Simon. And he says, Simon, which means to be heard or to hear. He says, Simon, not the rock, not Peter, not the apostle, but the Simon that's in you. He said, I want to tell you something, Simon, Simon. He said, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. There's not a one in you in here that I couldn't tell you that Satan doesn't want. No, he wants every one of you. He desires to have you that he may. Now, here's what he wants to do with you once he has you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now, there may be some different meanings to this sifting as wheat. I don't know exactly what how they sifted wheat, but I remember how Grandma used to sift corn. She would take that little thing. How many ever use that little thing that it goes over the wheel and it would just keep, and she'd pour it back in there. And before long, it was powder. It was forever changed. It could never be what it once was. And he's letting Peter know that what Satan desires to do is forever change you, that he may sift you as wheat. No, when you're the rock, you can't sift the rock. But right now, buddy, you're the wheat. And as long as you're the wheat, he can sift you until he gets you to an unrestorable state. Satan desires to have every one of us to drag us through the mill, if you will, until we are drug out so bad we're not restorable in our mind again. I'm no good to anyone. And Satan looks for the door of opportunity that he may use that moment. He's very patient, almost like a deer hunter. He will sit there and wait and track you and get his deer cams out there, put corn out there and bait you, waiting for that one moment that the timing is right to capture you. The Bible lets us know that Judas Iscariot, the Bible says, Jesus said, Have I not chosen 12 of you, and one of you is the devil? Well, he wasn't at the time he chose him. But the Bible says at the table, Satan entered in. It wasn't till they got to the table, till they got to the end. But what happened? Brother Judas, you see, was over the money. He was over the purse. And many times money is an opportunity for failure. So many times, you can read it throughout the Bible, how Paul talked about it. It's an opportunity to fail. And so he had the purse. But it wasn't until Jesus took the sop and gave it to him that the purse came alive. I can get some money for this dude. They want him. I'd probably get me 30 pieces of silver. And it was the opportunity that the devil had, listen, to forever change him. So that he could come back and take the money and throw it down and say, I'm sorry that I did this. But he was forever changed. Satan desires to have all of us. It started in the very beginning with Cain and Abel. Of course, Adam and Eve, right? He desired to have Adam. So he got Eve. If he can't get you, he'll get the one you love. Then he'll get you. And so it is, we find that Cain, the Bible says, became a marked man, and he went out as Judas did that night. The Bible says, and he went out. Satan came in and he went out, and it was night. We find that Cain slays his brother, and guess what? He too went out, and he went out of the presence of the Lord. Satan desires to have you that he might forever change you. The man from Gadara, Jesus cast those demons out. Where did they go, Brother Buddy? Into the swine. And they jump off and they die. They were forever changed. Never to eat grass again. Forever changed. The Bible says that Satan is always looking for an opportunity. When the unclean spirit of a man goes out, it looks and seeks to find rest. And when it finds none, it says, I will return to the house from whence I came. He goes out into dry places. Let me tell you, it's not him that's in dry places, it's you. He's looking for people in dry places, people in lonely places, people that are in a bind for answers, people that are hungry for the wrong thing, people that are thirsty for the worldly thing. I'm looking for them that has dryness. And he said, I will take back with me 7 more. Now listen, and the state of that man is worse than he's forever changed. The Apostle Peter now finds himself the subject. Not very long after he says, I'll never fail you, he finds himself being hunted and haunted by the devil to break him down so that he cannot be the rock that Christ called him. But Jesus said, when he said, Satan hath desired to have you, but he said, I have prayed for you that what fail not? Your faith fail not. I have prayed for you not that you will not deny me. I have prayed for you that after you deny me, that your faith fail not. Because if your faith fails, you're forever changed. You're forever changed. And the greatest prayer that me as a pastor can pray for anybody that finds themselves failing is, I can pray prayers and, Lord, get them out of this and get them out of that. That's not the answer. The answer is, I pray that your faith fail not. I can pray for God, give them the job. God, give them the money. God, pay the bill and all these kinds. But that's not what you need. You need to pray that their faith fail not. And the old song we used to sing, Through It All. You remember that? Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Jesus prayed that their faith would fail not. He said, and when you are converted. Say that word with me again. Converted. When you are converted, he said, I want you then to strengthen your brother. Now, listen close. Because we get this word conversion messed up. Conversion means a new version. That's different from the old version. Conversion. It's change. It is converted. It is forever changed. It's no longer the same. And I'm here to tell you, a lot of times the Holy Ghost gives you power to change. But it alone, like I said, I've seen people in this day and time especially, it seemed like used to, Brother and Sister Peter, when they got the Holy Ghost, they stayed a little longer. You know, they'd come for a month or two. But today they get it and they're not even back the next service. I wonder sometimes what they got, but they didn't change. Paul said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, all things. He didn't say, if any man gets the Holy Ghost. No, that's not what he said. He said, if any man be in Christ. See, Satan hath desired to have you. He said, if you are in Christ, then you are a new creature and old things are passed away. And behold, all things are a new version. Oh, you see everything different. I always marveled. I remember studying in school, studying about metamorphosis. You remember that? Immediately you think about the caterpillar, you know, and the butterfly. Greatest example there ever was of a permanent change, right? That old caterpillar crawls around slimy and green, and he's not pretty at all. But once, see, he goes through a changing stage called the cocoon stage. And too many people don't stay in the cocoon long enough. They want to become the butterfly immediately, but there is a changing process where he stays inside of the cocoon and nobody sees the change till he comes out and he's a different creature. No, he is forever changed. No longer to go back into the old cocoon. He leaves the exoskeleton, the old man behind, and all things become new. He don't even eat the same thing he used to eat. He used to crawl around and now he flies. Used to, no one wanted to catch him. Now everybody wants to catch him. That this transformation that we need, no wonder Paul said, be not conformed. You know, conformed is not a change. That's being shaped to what's already there. You pour concrete in a form, it takes the shape of the form. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That's that conversion. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. We have to prove it. And you can't prove it if you're not changed. Whew, my Lord. Y'all still with me? I feel the Lord here today. Amen. Too many people want to. See, he said this. He said, when you're converted, when thou art changed, when we got a new version, when you become from Simon to the Peter that I want you to be, he said, then you can strengthen your brother. Too many people want to strengthen somebody else when they're too weak themselves. And what happens is you hurt yourself trying to help somebody else when you think you're doing good, but the problem is you're not strong enough yourself to strengthen anybody else. And then when you fail, they look at you and say, well, there must not be anything to it. So he said, once you're forever changed, then you can convert your brother. Are you with me? Once you're forever changed. And so we have to be careful that we don't try to strengthen people and be too weak ourselves. No, one of the Bible says, let them that are strong support them that are weak. Hallelujah. So Peter responded to Jesus and said, so many words, just watch me. Watch me. I'm not going to do that. I give you my word. I'm ready to go to prison with you. Hadn't been tested, though. Hadn't been proven. Talk's cheap, they say. I'll even die for you, or with you. He didn't say for you. He said with you. I'll die with you. But I'm here to tell you, being ready to do something and doing it is something else. You can be ready for church and never get in your car. Put on your clothes and never get here. You can put on your clothes and drive in the parking lot and drive around and go home. Getting ready doesn't do it. But doing it is more important. Too many times people get into relationships, whether it be marriage or friends or whatever, and we look at them from the outside and go, they're morally correct. They don't drink, they don't smoke, they don't do all these things, they don't run around, they don't cheat on their wives, all this kind of stuff. And boy, you think they're good, but you're not looking sometimes at the inside. They don't keep their word. So what? They say all these things they don't do, but they look morally good, but on the inside they're not changed. And you can't depend on them. I've had some good employees in my working before, but some of them you couldn't depend on to be there. If they knew I was out of town, they were out of town too. I'd call and like, hello, I thought I hired somebody. It's not Sister Tevia, by the way. She works for me. So, and then I could get gun shy, you know, after a while. But he's told him, he said, let me tell you something. The chicken will be your signal. The chicken will be your signal that you're a chicken. When you hear him crow three times, you will have already said, I don't know him. I'll show you. But let me tell you, when they came and got him and handcuffed him and bound him, the Bible says, and Peter began to follow at a distance. And it wasn't long before he was saying, I don't know him. Wasn't long before he was cursing. But just earlier that day, cutting off ears. Let's get them. How quick people can think they changed, but they haven't changed. You never know, and I'm going someplace, you never know whether you've changed until you're put to the test. Prove me. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's see if you're transformed. Can you prove it? You ever ask somebody, can you prove it? You go to court, they're looking for proof. Can you prove it? So Christ is letting him know that even though what you say is one thing, I know your heart, and it's not there yet. But I'm praying for you that your faith fail not. And so, again, the devil was hunting him to try to destroy him so that he could not feel like he could be restored. I'm here to tell you, you can be restored, but he wants to make you feel like you can't be restored. So we find that Peter, I'll quickly hurry, he sits in the back in the courtroom just to see what the end would be, the Bible said. See what's going to happen. But when they led him away up the cross, he's gone. And the Bible says that when he denied him that last time, he went out and wept bitterly. A grown man realized when he heard the chicken, I was the chicken. I was the chicken. And for a moment, it looks like Satan had won. And for a moment, it looked like he was going to be sifted as wheat. But somebody prayed for me. Hallelujah. Somebody was praying on the other end that when I meet temptation and when I meet failure, that my faith fail not. And somehow I believe in his heart, he felt like it's over. Hurt and dejected, he says to the other apostles, I go fishing. This kingdom business and stuff. What good is it for me anyway? He called me the rock, give me the keys to the kingdom. But look at me now. How can he ever use me? And they were so discouraged too. They said, we go with you. And they all get on a boat to go fishing, trying to forget what happened. Go on. Just going to go on with life. Just going to go on with life. But I'm here to tell you that it is at this place where Peter was forever changed. This is the place where he was forever changed. And while he was in the boat, there was someone calling on the shore. Christ was standing on the seashore, calling to them. And when he called to them, he says, "Children, do you have any meat?" Now, just that he called them children lets me know he hasn't forsaken them. Because the first time you see that Peter met the Lord, he was on the boat and they had fished all night and caught